two mighty works of God. Amen. I'm going to read a few verses here in Acts chapter 8, and then we'll refer also to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 8 and verse 26 this morning, if you'll follow along there with me. The Bible says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all of her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot. Read Esaias the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Esaias, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. They both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. When they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached into all the cities till he came to Caesarea. This is an amazing conversion account of this man, Ethiopian eunuch. The Bible says that this man had come probably 1,500 miles to Jerusalem, it says, to worship. He was a eunuch who was under Candace the queen, her treasurer. He was a man of great power and authority, but yet apparently he had a heart for God. And that heart for God had drawn him all the way to Jerusalem. Like I said, probably 1,500 miles. That's a long ways. I don't care how you're traveling, but if you're traveling by horse and cart, that's a really long ways. And that's a big desire to go worship God. Now, where did that come from? Where did he have this desire? Well, most believe that Candace, the queen, was a descendant of Sheba. Sheba, who hundreds of years before had come and visited Solomon. And during her experience of seeing all the grandeur of Solomon's kingdom and the temple, that she went back and said, the half has not been told. She was so amazed. And most believe that she took Solomon's God back with her and instituted worship there. That would have been hundreds of years before. And now, apparently, this man at least has enough knowledge
about the things of God, that he wants to travel to Jerusalem and learn more about worshiping the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the God of Solomon. And so he wants to travel all of that distance. At the same time that this is all happening, God is working on the other end of the situation, because there has been the martyrdom of Stephen as a result of his death. People are scattered. The Christians are scattered every direction. And Philip goes to Samaria. Now, so the persecution sent them into places that they probably wouldn't have ever gone before. The Jews, they just didn't have much to do with the Samaritans. But Philip the evangelist, he goes to Samaria, and the Bible says that he preaches there. Unclean spirits are delivered. People are delivered from unclean spirits, and people are healed of palsies, and the lame are healed. And the Bible says that great joy filled the city of Samaria. That's what revival does. When revival comes to a community, it brings great joy. And great joy came to Samaria as a result of Peter's or Philip's preaching. But God steps on the scene. The Spirit of God interrupts him in his revival in Samaria and says, I want you to go to the desert. I want you to go to a place called Gaza. Go there. And Philip, it doesn't indicate at all that he hesitates. He just makes the journey into the desert because he knows that the voice of the Spirit of God is directing him to go. He goes, and when he goes there, he meets this Ethiopian eunuch in his chariot, reading from the book of Isaiah. I know that this is a familiar story to you, but I want you to see the contrast between the conversion in Acts chapter 8 and the conversion in Acts chapter 9. Because this man, when he was searching, he was longing to know the truth of the gospel. He had a heart for God. And so God was willing to interrupt a Samaritan outpouring of the Spirit to send Philip the evangelist to meet this one lone man who was searching and longing for the truth. Amen. God cares about the individual as well, doesn't he? He cares about every individual, and no matter what it is or who you are or what your situation is, he cares about everybody, whosoever. He can save anyone. He can speak to anyone. He can invade their heart and their mind at any time. God can move in any situation. So here is a man who is completely transformed that day. And he is baptized. And as soon as they come up out of the water, Philip is translated and transported about 35 miles away, or at least that's where they find him, traveling and preaching and continuing. What an amazing move of God that God worked in behalf of that searching, that person that was searching for God. So we do know people who are searching after God. We meet people from time to time. They don't know God, but they have a hunger for God, and they're searching for the truth. They're longing to know the Lord. And thank God for that, that God is working behind the scenes, speaking to them and arranging circumstances so that they can hear the gospel and have it explained to them, and they can be saved, born again by the Spirit of God. Amen. Thank God for that. But then by contrast, when you look at the conversion in Acts chapter 9, this is the conversion of the man that we call Paul, who is first called Saul. And Saul is not a man who's seeking after God. He's a man who thinks he already has God. He is a man that is self-sufficient. He doesn't think he needs anything else. And when it comes to the gospel and it comes to the message of Jesus, he hates it. He despises it. He opposes it so much so that he wants to stamp out the gospel. So he's not at all like the Ethiopian eunuch who's longing and searching and needs someone to help him to understand the gospel. He is arrogant and proud and thinks he knows it, knows everything that he needs to know. Amen. This man, Saul, was a Jew, but he was raised in Tarsus. He's probably there because of Roman persecution that carried a lot of Jews away and put place, and some of them were carried to Tarsus. He was probably raised there. His parents or maybe his grandparents may have been slaves under the Roman government, but then a guy by the name of Pompey, he released them. Not only did he release them from their imprisonment, but he also gave them citizenship, Roman citizenship. And he didn't realize that he was playing into the plan of God, because later on, that was going to give Paul the opportunity to appeal to Caesar, the most powerful man in the known world at that time, to appeal to him and to declare the gospel to him because he was a Roman citizen. So you need to just understand this morning that God is always working behind the scenes. And he can work even in the bad situation of the earlier parts of your life. Even before you knew God, God was working on your behalf to prepare you and to place you where he wanted you to be, doing what he wanted you to do. Amen. So Saul became Paul. The Bible says he hated the church. He didn't want to know anything about the gospel. He wanted to stamp out the gospel. That was his goal. He wanted to go and get letters of authority. The Bible says in Acts chapter 8 and verse 3, he made havoc of the church. The word really means that he was violent toward the church. He was violent toward the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committing them to prison. 1 Timothy chapter 1, it says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." And this is Paul speaking, "of whom I am chief." Paul said, "Of all the sinners, I was the worst. I was the worst." And he admitted that I am the worst. Just think about all of those wicked and evil people who have done such horrible things. Paul said, "I was worse than them all. I was this wicked, evil man who hated the message of Jesus, who hated the church and wanted to destroy it." Amen. So he wasn't a seeker at all. He wasn't searching for God. It wasn't in his heart to seek after the Lord at all. He says, "I was a blasphemer. I was a persecutor. I was injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." Acts 26 and verse 10, he says, "Which things I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints that I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them," or he voted for them to be killed. So most believe that he was probably a part of the Sanhedrin, that he had authority with the Sanhedrin court, and that he had a vote, and he voted against them. And whenever they were going to be put to death, he said, "I vote that they die." He was a murderer, a persecutor, and a destroyer of the church. That's who he was. Acts 26 and 11, he said, "I punished them oft in every synagogue, compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities." Paul was so extreme in his violence against the church that he chased them even out of the normal Jewish regions into strange cities, foreign cities. He would chase them and persecute them and arrest them and bring them in. And they suffered because of Paul's hatred for the church and his hatred for the things of God. Let me just
insert this right here this morning, and this is the thing I'm holding on to. God can save anybody. He can save anybody, whosoever. He can save anybody. If he can save Paul, Saul, and then make him into a Paul, an apostle. If he can do that, then he can save anybody. Amen. And we need to hold on to that wonderful promise today that it doesn't matter who they are or what, how deep in sin that they're in, how far away from God, or how much that they even hate the things of God. It really doesn't matter, because God knows how to break into that person's life, their heart, their mind, their conscience, and to speak to them and convict them and bring them to real salvation, just like you did for the Apostle Paul. Praise God. Amen. Do I know of some who, modern day, I know a lot of people that they seem like hard, impossible cases. Most of you that have been around here for any length of time, you remember a man by the name of Gordon Acton. Gordon was a part of our church for a lot of years. Gordon, as a young man, was a drunkard, an alcoholic. He couldn't help himself. He couldn't earn a living for his family. His family was struggling, just about to split up. I mean, nothing but sorrow and heartache in his life as a young man. He'd been in the hospital more than one occasion trying to get help with his alcoholism. Couldn't seem to get help. Finally, he wound up in a Louisville hospital, spent some time there. I'm not sure how long that he was there. Some of you were here at his funeral when the chaplain from the mission in Louisville was here in that service, that funeral service. Gordon left the hospital in Louisville, and it didn't take him no time to get drunk. Within an hour or two, he was already drunk, walking down the streets of the city of Louisville, and he heard singing. And it drew him in. It was a little mission in Louisville. It drew him in. And he went in, and he was drunk when he went into that service. He felt the presence of God, and he heard the gospel preached. And Gordon Acton responded and went to the altar and repented and got saved. And that brother that was in Gordon's funeral service with us that day, he said he was drunk when he came to the altar, but he was sober when he got up. Praise God. Praise God. And for those of us that knew Gordon, we knew that he was a witness everywhere he went. As a matter of fact, it's dangerous to let him cut your hair. Because I'm telling you, he'd get to talking about the Lord and about the testimony of something that had happened in his jail ministry or something, and one side of your hair would be gone before you knew it. It's dangerous. That was Gordon for you. Gordon was a witness. He spent about 20 years going to the jail, preaching week after week after week after week, preaching the gospel to them. You talk about an inspirational man, a man of God who lived the rest of his life serving the Lord. God can save anybody. Amen. For some of you, you've got people like I do. I've got a boy that needs the Lord really bad. And I know that sometimes, because he's getting ready to turn 33 years old, and half of his life he has spent, you know, wayward, and just away from the voice of the Lord, and going his own way, and, you know, going deeper and deeper into the things of sin in the world. That's my son. And but I still hold on to a promise of God for him. I still hold on to the promise of God that God can break through all that darkness and all that addiction and all that rebellion, and even in a heart that has no interest in God, even in the hearts of people that could care less about the things of God, God knows how to invade their heart and interrupt their life, just like he did for Saul on the road to Damascus. Amen. You think he was looking for God? Saul on the road to Damascus was not. He had letters of authority to go to Damascus. His goal was to get there, and for all the believers there in that church, he wanted to arrest them and persecute them and to destroy the work of the church. That's what he was going there for. He wasn't
he wasn't looking for God, but on the road to Damascus, God invaded his situation. A light shone from heaven like the midday sun, so bright that he fell to the ground. And all of those with him also fell to the ground. This was a mighty intervention, a mighty move of God. So I know that God can speak to your loved one, your family member, wherever they are or whatever situation that they're in. God can save anybody, whosoever will. He can save whoever that they might be. A lot of you know Brother Kurt Haas. Brother Kurt Haas is our missionary that we've supported for many years here, who is a missionary to prisons primarily. And for more than 50 years now, he has done ministry to inmates in prisons in the state of Ohio and other places, but primarily in the state of Ohio. He was born in Switzerland. When he was 14 years old, his parents divorced. He was so shaken by that divorce that he left home at 14 years old and just roamed from place to place, city to city, to even eventually country to country. And then he finally wound up in New York City. Someone gave him, he spoke German primarily, broken English, but primarily German. Someone gave him a copy of Dave Wilkerson's book, The Cross and the Switchblade, in German. He said, I wanted something in my own language to read so bad that I read that book because it was in my language. He read it and something began to stir in his heart. He heard that there was a mission called the Lost Coin that Wilkerson's ministry had started. It was just a coffee shop in New York City where they would welcome the down and outer to come and they would give them a cup of coffee. And Dave Wilkerson's mother, Mom Wilkerson, began to witness to Kurt Haas in that coffee shop. He said, for 8 months, I would go in there and get a cup of coffee, and she would talk to him about the Lord and witness to him about Jesus. And all the while, God was breaking through to his heart and his mind when he knew nothing about God, knew nothing about what it was to be saved or to follow the Lord, but he got born again. Praise God. His life was changed. And he went to Teen Challenge, eventually became a staff person at Teen Challenge in New York City. And then the Lord led him to Bible school of all places in Missouri, where I went to Bible school. And that's where I first met him. He was quite a bit older than me, but he was in Bible school a grade or two, I think, above me. But that's when I first met Kurt Haas, was at OBI all those many years ago in the 70s. And he was already in doing prison ministry. And all these years, he has preached the gospel in prison after prison after prison, because God can save anybody. God can break through to anybody's life. If you have lost heart and you're concerned about your friends or loved ones or family members that seem to be dark in their heart and disinterested in the gospel and the things of God, oh, don't let up in your praying. Don't lose heart, because God can break through and can speak to them and can deal with them, and he will if you'll just be faithful. Praise God. Most of you have heard Brother Harry Ormsby's testimony. He said that when he was growing up that he went to church some here in London, but he said, I don't ever remember hearing the gospel. I never really realized that it was something for me, that I needed to be saved. It wasn't until he got out of the military, out of Vietnam, that he winds up in Colorado Springs. And he is driving down the road. Y'all remember this testimony. And on the radio comes a song. It was a rock and roll group by the name of The Byrds. You know, there's the Beatles and the Byrds and all these different... but The Byrds... This rock and roll group, they had taken that verse from Proverbs and made it into a song, and it was a hit for them. And they changed the words just a little bit, but I copied these words down. It says, to everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season. Turn, turn, turn. and a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to reap, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to laugh, and a time to weep. And of course, it goes on and on from that proverb. But they made it into a song, and he heard that. Isn't it interesting that God can break through by his word in the hearts of people? And even in that situation, use a rock and roll group singing that song from Proverbs. And broke through to his heart. He went to church, and that's where he met Evelyn. And he got gloriously born again, and his life changed. And now all these years he's spent in ministry in the local jail, preaching to people the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Lord can save anybody. He can break through to anybody. Amen. So for Saul, the bright light from heaven shone. It knocked him and his travel companions to the ground. And they had an encounter with Jesus that day. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you persecuting me? And then he had this experience in the presence of God on the road to Damascus, that he realized his need for God. We call that Holy Ghost conviction. Conviction. Conviction comes when the Spirit of God convinces a person that they're a sinner, and that the only way that they can take care of the problem of their sin is through Jesus Christ. That's Holy Ghost conviction. And the Lord can convict the sinner in a church service, or in a jail cell, or in a car driving down the road, or like Paul on the road to Damascus, wherever that they might be, the Lord can move and can speak to them and convict them of their sin. Amen. He says, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." The prick, of course, was a goad, the ox goad, that was sharp on one end that they would use to prod the animals along. And the Holy Ghost was pricking at the heart of Saul and was directing him and was making him aware. Sometimes conviction is unpleasant. Holy Ghost conviction sometimes is kind of miserable, just like the ox goad is miserable. Oh, but it's the love of God. It's the mercy of God that is drawing you to him, that is making you aware of your need for the Lord. Praise God. I don't believe that Saul ever got over seeing the martyrdom of Stephen. I don't think he ever got over that. When they laid all their clothes at his feet, I believe that it so affected him. He saw the grace of God upon Stephen. Stephen who forgave them. Stephen who said, "I see the heavens open, and I see Jesus at the right hand of the Father." And that experience, I just don't believe he ever got away from it. I believe he was convicted by all that happened. And then there was the conversion. Amen. Glory to God. I believe in old-fashioned biblical salvation. That doesn't mean you shake the hand of the preacher or even that you get baptized in water. It means you've had a conversion experience. It means you've come to Jesus, you have repented of your sins, and your life has been turned completely upside down. Amen. You're completely changed. Praise God. That's what happened to Saul on the road to Damascus, because now he's calling him Lord. And he's saying, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" I mean, he set out with a full intention of what he was going to do in Damascus. But now he's saying, "Lord, what do you want me to do? I don't know what to do." And he tells him what to do, exactly where he's to go and what steps he's to follow, because his life is never going to be the same again. Praise God.
So you see the contrast from Acts 8 and Acts 9. A man who is actually a seeker, who is searching, who is longing, and God sends an evangelist to explain the gospel to him, and he's saved. In Acts chapter 9, you've got a man that could care less, who's disinterested in the gospel so much so that he hates it. He despises it. He doesn't want to hear it or have anything. He wants to destroy it if he can. Jesus can break through in either situation. Amen. Hallelujah. We need to believe God for that. We need to believe God for some of the hard cases, some of the resistant cases, some of those that you think, well, you know, I don't see any evidence at all that they would ever, ever turn to the Lord. You don't have to see the evidence of it. You just have to know that God can move in his good timing to break into their life and to reveal himself to them. And he will do that if you'll keep praying, if you'll keep believing. Praise God. Hallelujah. Whosoever, it doesn't matter who they are, what their past is, what their background is, how wicked and how hard and how resistant that they might be to the gospel, Jesus can save anybody. Anybody. Thank God for that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you can speak, Lord, to anybody. It doesn't make any difference how hardened they might be, how resistant that they are. Lord, what's in their heart, if it's hatred and bitterness or whatever is going on in their heart, Lord, you can break through all of that. You can break through all of that and convict them and convert them, change them of the power of the gospel. Hallelujah.